Welcome to the show. It is exceedingly rare for the United States Supreme Court to bitch slap half the Federal Circuit Courts of Appeal, but it just did. The decision to which I'm referring is so momentous it will change the future of our country. Perhaps more astoundingly, no one in the media is reporting on the profound implications of the decision, so this presentation will be the public's first exposure to the historic consequences of this particular Supreme Court decision.
The Dr. Reality Vodcast with Dave Champion.
Let's start with this. As many of you know, income tax is my area of expertise. I am arguably the most knowledgeable person in the United States concerning upon whom the income tax has been imposed, and by association, upon whom it has not been imposed. I am the author of Income Tax, Shattering the Myths, the best-selling book in America that reveals the truth of the income tax the government doesn't want the American people to know. Today, I will be showing you a June 2024 Supreme Court decision that has set the stage to fundamentally change our nation. I'll be sharing the words of the court as you see them on screen directly from the court's website. I'll put a link to the decision in the notes so you know that what you're seeing is indeed the court's words. Before I get rolling, I want to let you know that I'm running two special offers on my books. I bring that up now because I'm confident by the end of this presentation, you'll want to know how you can purchase Income Tax Shattering the Myths, and it wouldn't hurt to pay less for it, right? Stay with me to the end to learn about the special offers. What you're seeing now is page one of the court's decision. I've underlined the case name in red, which is Moore et Ooks v. United States. Also, I underlined the date the case was decided, which is June 20th, 2024. At this point, some of you may be thinking, wait a minute, Dave, you just said the media hasn't covered this case, but I distinctly remember seeing articles about it back in June. As far as that thought goes, you're right, but I didn't say the media didn't cover the story. I said the media has not reported on the profound implications of the decision. The media coverage addressed one thing and one thing only: the holding that the U.S. government has the authority to tax unrealized gains that have accrued to shares of foreign corporations when those shares are owned by U.S. citizens. While that's inarguably important for U.S. citizens to know if they own shares in foreign corporations, that doesn't come within a million miles of the description I gave you in the introduction, which was that the court's decision contains something that is, quote, so momentous it will change the future of our nation. That's the aspect of the decision no one in media has covered. The published decision is 32 pages long, but you need go no further than page two to find the bombshell. On page two, we find paragraph A, which contains the words that will change America's future. When we read paragraph A, some of you might think it sounds like gobbledygook because it uses a number of legal terms with which you're unfamiliar. Not to worry, I'm going to explain the unfamiliar terminology in a way everyone can understand, as well as describe how the pieces fit together. When I'm done, not only will you understand paragraph A as if you're a constitutional scholar, but the momentous implications will be crystal clear. With that said, here is what paragraph A says. Article 1 of the Constitution affords Congress broad power to lay and collect taxes. The power includes direct taxes, those imposed on persons and property, and indirect taxes, those imposed on activities or transactions. Direct taxes must be apportioned among the several states according to each state's population, while indirect taxes are permitted without apportionment but must be uniform throughout the United States. Taxes on income are direct taxes, and the 16th Amendment confirms that taxes on income need not be apportioned. Let me cut to the chase on the profound change that paragraph will produce in the United States. That paragraph prevents the Internal Revenue Service from collecting income tax from any American living and working in a state of the union, earning his or her domestic income, and who invests a bit of time getting informed. Before I jump in, I want to go up to the 35,000 foot level and consider what the court did in paragraph A. The first thing the court did was to validate that everything I've been telling you in my book, Income Tax Shattering the Myths, is legally factual. In paragraph A, the court said, quote, taxes on income are indirect taxes. Which is precisely what I've been telling the American people for 30 years, and Income Tax Shattering the Myths has been telling my countrymen since it was published 15 years ago. I appreciate that the Supreme Court has validated my work. The second thing paragraph A did was tell half the federal circuit courts they've been wrong for decades. In Income Tax Shattering the Myths, I discussed that half the federal circuits have held the income tax to be an indirect excise, which is legally factual, and the other half have held it to be a direct tax absent an apportionment, which is not legally factual. The Moore decision confirms that half the circuit courts have been wrong for 100 years. More on that in a minute. Let's get into the specific language the court used so when you read paragraph A again, it will make perfect sense. In paragraph A, the court mentions direct taxes and indirect taxes. Because those terms are essential to understanding the larger issue, you need to know what each of those terms means. We'll start with the explanation of direct taxes. As the court stated, direct taxes bear upon persons and property. Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3 of the Constitution requires direct taxes to be apportioned and reads as follows. Representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states. What that means is Congress would declare an amount each state owes the federal government based on the state's population as determined by the most recent census. Each state would be responsible for making payment of the amount imposed by Congress. If a state refused or fell short, the federal government might collect the tax directly from the citizens of the state. As an illustrative example, let's say Congress imposed a direct tax in the form of a capitation tax. University of Michigan Law School has perhaps the most straightforward definition of a capitation tax, which reads, also known as a head tax, a capitation tax is a direct tax on a person as opposed to a tax on income, merchandise, or an economic transaction. In other words, it's a tax levied on you simply because you exist. Why did I say Congress would declare an amount the state owes, and if a state didn't pay, the federal government might collect the tax directly from the people? I phrased it that way because we really don't know what the apportionment mechanism would look like. The Constitution is silent on the mechanics of how apportionment would be accomplished. From the day the Constitution was ratified until this very moment, Congress has never enacted a direct tax, which means we can only speculate about how exactly apportionment would operate. Let's summarize on direct tax. Any direct tax would have to be apportioned among the states. It is presumed apportionment would be a tax based on each state's population. In the entire history of the United States, Congress has never imposed a direct tax. With direct taxes under our belt, let's examine indirect taxes, which of course begins with the Constitution. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 of the Constitution states, quote, the Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. But all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. Duties, imposts, and excises are the three constitutional forms of indirect tax. There is no fourth type. In paragraph A, the court said indirect taxes are those imposed on activities or transactions. An example of that is customs duties. The tax is imposed on the activity of importing products into the United States. Although the following judicial statement was made specifically about excise taxes, it applies to all indirect taxes and reads, the obligation to pay an excise is based upon the voluntary action of the person taxed in performing the act, enjoying the privilege or engaging in the privilege which is the subject of the tax, and the element of absolute unavoidable demand is lacking. To be clear, when the court says privilege, it means a government-granted privilege. A good way to think about a privilege is it's something you do not have a right to do and which, absent government permission, the activity would be prohibited. What does the court mean when it says, quote, the element of absolute unavoidable demand is lacking? It simply means that if you don't want to pay an indirect tax, don't engage in the government-granted privilege. Applying this to our previous example, if you don't want to pay customs duties, don't import goods into the United States. I should add that the courts have held that the activity upon which an indirect tax is imposed must be, in reality, a privilege. In other words, a legislator may not declare a right to be a privilege so that it can impose an indirect tax. The constitutional regulation upon indirect taxes is that, quote, all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. What does it mean for indirect taxes to be uniform throughout the United States? It simply means that when the federal government imposes an indirect tax, the same rate must apply in every part of the country. Let's use the government-granted privilege of distilling spirits as an example. The uniformity requirement means whatever the rate of tax is on distilling spirits in Alabama, the rate must be the same when distilling spirits in Alaska or Texas or Michigan. If the tax was $2 per liter in Florida and $3 in Utah, the tax would be unconstitutional. Let's summarize on indirect tax. Indirect taxes are taxes upon the exercise of a government-granted privilege. Indirect taxes can be avoided by not engaging in government-granted privileges. Indirect taxes must be uniform throughout the nation. Now that you understand what direct and indirect tax is, let's get to the meat of the issue, which appears in the final sentence of paragraph A, where the court says, taxes on income are indirect taxes, and the 16th Amendment confirms that taxes on income need not be apportioned. Let's consider the first six words. Taxes on income are indirect taxes. What the court just said is that the income tax is a tax on the exercise of a government-granted privilege. The second part of the sentence says, the 16th Amendment confirms that taxes on income need not be apportioned. Combined with the first six words, that's the court telling half the federal circuit courts of appeal that they have been 100% wrong when holding for almost 100 years that income tax is direct tax absent apportionment. In Moore, SCOTUS corrected the circuit courts by explicitly stating income tax is an indirect tax. Ironically, the Moore decision is simply restating what the court said in Brugschaber v. Union Pacific Railroad back in 1916, when it was first called upon to settle the meaning of the 16th Amendment. All of these facts and history and much more are covered in detail in Income Tax Shattering the Myths. So far, you've learned what an indirect tax is and that there are three forms of indirect tax: imposts, duties, and excises. So, which of the three forms of indirect tax is the income tax? Before I answer that, please take a moment to subscribe to the channel and hit the like button so the algorithms will show this content to more people. If you believe this information should be known by all Americans, please share it. Together, we can get the truth out. Also, a reminder that at the end, I'll be telling you about the special offers available on Income Tax Shattering the Myths and my other writings. Now, back to the question of which type of indirect tax is the income tax. Many government entities have declared income tax to be an excise, but perhaps the most authoritative is the Supreme Court's Brugschaber decision, in which Justice White, writing for the court and referencing the earlier Pollack case, pointed out there is no legal basis for the income tax to be considered a direct tax, and then said this: taxation on income was in its nature an excise entitled to be enforced as such. White also wrote, the contention that the amendment treats a tax on income as a direct tax relieved from apportionment is also wholly without foundation. You should know that half the circuit courts having held wrongly about the nature of the income tax isn't merely an esoteric issue. It would be hard to overstate the harm those courts have done. By saying income tax is a direct tax, they have been nullifying the essential element of an indirect tax, that one can avoid the tax by declining to engage in a privileged activity. In short, those courts have been dishonestly saying that Americans who are not engaged in a government-granted privilege must still pay the income tax. It would be hard to imagine a corrupt holding more egregious and harmful than that. Now that you know income tax is an excise, what is an excise? In American Airways v. Wallace, a federal court gave the most succinct description of which I am aware when it said, the term excise tax and privilege tax are synonymous. As stated in paragraph A, direct taxes are imposed on persons and property. When you exchange your labor for compensation, the compensation you receive is your property. Accordingly, if the tax was upon your income, it would be a direct tax. So we know income tax has not actually been imposed on the income. In U.S. income tax law, the amount of income simply serves as a gauge by which the government determines the value of the privilege being exercised. That's why when a person exercising a privilege upon which income tax has been imposed makes $1 million, his tax bill will be higher than the person who, exercising the same privilege, netted $250,000. In short, higher income translates into a greater value from the privilege, thus more tax is owed. The important takeaway is that the exercise of a privilege is being taxed, not the income itself. Now that you understand direct taxes, indirect taxes, that the income tax is an excise, and that the exercise of a privilege is being taxed, you're probably curious as to what privilege is U.S. income tax taxing. The privilege being taxed under U.S. income tax law is as simple for me to convey to you as it is difficult for people to accept. All I can do today is give it to you straight. To see the mountains of evidence that what I'm about to tell you is true, you'll need to read Income Tax Shattering the Myths. In law, the income tax is known as Subtitle A of United States Code Title 26. In other words, what we call income tax is found in law at Subtitle A. What you're seeing on your screen is Subtitle A entitled Income Tax. You'll notice I've highlighted Chapters 1 and 2. Chapter 1 is titled Normal Taxes and Surtaxes, and Chapter 2 is titled Tax on Self-Employment Income. Chapters 1 and 2 are what I call the rules of computation. In other words, for those people enjoying the excise taxable privilege, Chapters 1 and 2 detail the methods by which to compute how much U.S. income tax is owed for engaging in the privileged activity. This is the same screenshot, but now I've underlined Chapter 3, which is titled Withholding of Tax on Non-Resident Aliens and Foreign Corporations. Every tax law enacted in U.S. history has a collection mechanism included. When it comes to the income tax, Chapters 1 and 2 tell you how to determine the amount of tax owed, and Chapter 3 explains from whom the tax is to be collected and the mechanisms by which the collection is to take place. In other words, the persons from whom the tax is collected are non-resident aliens and foreign corporations with U.S. source income. This may shock you, but non-resident aliens and foreign corporations receiving U.S. source income are the only persons from whom U.S. law authorizes collection of income tax. The reason for that is the privilege being taxed is foreign persons earning income from within the United States. Non-resident aliens and foreign corporations have no right to earn money in the United States. For them, it's a privilege. And U.S. law imposes the income tax on the exercise of that privilege. For you and I, earning money here is a right. For foreign persons, it's a privilege taxed by what the public calls income tax. Right now, I can almost hear some people screaming, "That isn't true, because the law authorizes income tax to be taken out of my paycheck, so there is a collection mechanism that has nothing to do with foreign persons." Really? So you think the Form W-4 you filled out authorizing the company for which you work to withhold from your paycheck is in law to be used by American citizens earning their own domestic income in a State of the Union? Here's a hint for you. Nowhere in U.S. tax law does it say Form W-4 is to be used by American citizens earning their own domestic income in the states of the Union. Nowhere. Conversely, would you like to guess who in U.S. tax law is instructed to use a W-4? Treasury Decisions 8734, 8881, and Cumulative Bulletin 1997-44 all command wage withholding is to be affected upon non-resident aliens receiving U.S. source income. Would you care to guess how many Treasury decisions or cumulative bulletins say Form W-4 is to be used by American citizens earning their own domestic income in the States of the Union? In case you haven't figured it all out yet, the answer is zero. No mechanism to collect income tax from Americans earning their own domestic income exists in law because the privilege tax called income tax cannot be and has not been imposed on your right to earn a living. You can find tons of evidence concerning the true legal purpose of the Form W-4 in Income Tax Shattering the Myths, but I will share something quick and simple with you right now. Generally speaking, statutes and regulations are the only authoritative legal source of which Americans are aware, so it may surprise you to learn that who is to file a Form 1040 is never addressed in income tax statutes or in income tax regulations. In other words, Americans can search endlessly in the law for a legal instruction concerning who is to file a Form 1040 and never find it. To find who is required to file a Form 1040, you have to drill down past the statutes and regulations to Treasury decisions written and published by the Secretary of the Treasury. It is in Treasury decisions we find the U.S. government's legal determination of who is required to file by law a Form 1040. The Form 1040 was created by the Treasury Department in 1913. Since then, the Secretary has issued 11 Treasury decisions stating that Form 1040 is to be used by non-resident aliens or the non-resident alien's domestic agent. The Secretary has issued zero Treasury decisions saying Form 1040 is to be used by anyone other than non-resident aliens or the non-resident alien's domestic agent. In other words, the legal requirement to file a Form 1040 applies exclusively to non-resident aliens or the non-resident alien's domestic agent. Understanding that, now let's look at the instructions for the Form W-4. On page 2, the third paragraph is entitled Exemptions from Withholding and says the following. You may claim exemption from withholding for 2024 if you meet both of the following conditions. You had no federal income tax liability in 2023, and you expect to have no federal income tax liability in 2024. You had no federal income tax liability in 2023 if your total tax on line 24 on your 2023 Form 1040 or 1040-SR is zero. In other words, to properly fill out a Form W-4, you have to be a person who files a Form 1040, which is only to be filed by non-resident aliens or the non-resident alien's domestic agent. On page 3, we find a section entitled Step 4B Deduction Worksheet, the purpose of which is to assist those who are required to file a W-4 in claiming the correct amount of deductions. This is how it explains a person is to come up with the correct level of deductions. Enter an estimate of your 2024 itemized deductions from Schedule A Form 1040. I will also point out that Form 1040 and W-4 share the same OMB control number because both forms deal with the same issue, the collection of U.S. source income from non-resident aliens. It should be clear that the only people required to submit a Form W-4 are the same people who are required to file a 1040, which are non-resident aliens, for whom receiving U.S. source income is the privilege being taxed. We've covered a lot of ground, so let's take a moment to recap. I said the Moore decision would change the course of U.S. history. I said the media had not covered the profound implications of what really matters about the Moore decision, and this would be your first exposure to that profound implication. You learn that a direct tax is upon persons and property, must be apportioned, and Congress has never enacted a direct tax. You learn that an indirect tax is defined by its lack of absolute unavoidable demand, and you can avoid an indirect tax by not engaging in specific activities taxed. You learned that one of the three forms of indirect tax is an excise. You learned that an excise is a tax upon the exercise of a government-granted privilege. You learned that the income tax is an excise, which means the income tax is upon the exercise of a government-granted privilege. You learned that the privilege being taxed by U.S. income tax law is non-resident aliens and foreign corporations receiving U.S. source income. You learned income tax collection mechanisms operate exclusively on the U.S. source income of foreign persons. You learned that a Form W-4 is to be used exclusively by a non-resident alien receiving U.S. source income. Today, you learned a good deal of really important information in a short period of time. The conclusion of all you learned is that the income tax has never been imposed on you, and you don't know it. And that brings us back to the statement I made in the introduction, which was that the Moore decision will change the future of our nation. Roughly 160 million Americans file a Form 1040 every year. As an aside, I should mention that Form 1120 is to be used by a foreign corporation to report the tax owed on U.S. source income. Form 1065 is to be used by foreign partnerships to report U.S. source income. And Form K-1 is to be used to report U.S. source income distributed to members of the foreign partnership. But back to the main point. If all 160 million Americans learned the truth contained in the Moore decision and in income tax shattering the myths, and therefore stopped paying income tax, I think we all agree that would change the future of our nation. Yet, when I talk about the Moore decision changing the future of our country, that's predicated on my countrymen doing two things. One, learning about the truly significant part of the Moore decision. And two, having the spine to act on the truth. From the day almost 32 years ago that I realized Congress has never imposed the income tax on me, there was no power on earth that could make me file a 1040 or pay income tax ever again. It simply isn't within me to allow my servant government to steal from me. Yet, I'm aware many Americans don't feel the indignation I felt and still feel about the government defrauding the American people. In light of Moore, will Americans pull their heads out of their asses and learn the truth of the income tax? Let's say the message takes off and our fellow citizens hear about it. What then? The founding fathers risked everything to fight for personal liberty. Today, concerning the truth of the income tax, Americans don't have to fight at all. All Americans need to do to stand up for liberty today is, are you ready? Follow the law. That said, I never suggest anyone walk away from the income tax until they've read Income Tax Shattering the Myths, because this is not a matter concerning which anyone should go off half-cocked. You should know what the law says, how it operates, how the scam is being played on you, and with that knowledge, how to walk away safely. Income Tax Shattering the Myths gives you all of that. Here's how to get your discount on Income Tax Shattering the Myths. First is the big Christmas special. If you use the code XMAS24, not only do you get 10% off everything on my drreality.news website, but if your order includes Income Tax Shattering the Myths and or Body Science, I will personally inscribe and autograph them for you. I recently put out a presentation comparing and contrasting income tax with the tariffs you'll be paying in the not-too-distant future. In that presentation, I make the point that the tariffs are coming and will double some Americans' federal tax burden. Even those who won't see a doubling of their tax burden will absolutely be paying tariff taxes they cannot avoid. In light of an increased tax burden coming to every American household in America, would this not be the exact right time to get informed and put your plan together to safely walk away from the income tax? I'll put the link to the tariff video down in the notes. There is a special discount right now for those who believe this is the right time to exit the income tax scam. If you use the code TARIFFS at checkout, you will get free shipping on any order that contains a copy of Income Tax Shattering the Myths. I suggest people get the 4-pack, which includes Income Tax Shattering the Myths, Body Science, the Business Guide to Payroll Withholding, and the W-9-1099 Handbook. The price of the 4-pack has already been deeply discounted, and with this special, you also get free shipping. Body Science is my groundbreaking work on health and human physiology. I don't want to get into a full-throated description of Body Science here today, so I'll simply say that if you do not want to get chronic diseases such as heart disease, hypertension, insulin resistance, obesity, diabetes, or Alzheimer's, or if you have any of those diseases and want to eradicate them, you have to read Body Science. I live by everything you'll find in body science, and at 65, I'm as healthy as I was when I was 20, and I don't take a single big pharma product. I know that wasn't a terribly informative description, but I'm trying to keep this short. You have my word that body science and Income Tax Shattering the Myths will be two of the most intriguing and fascinating books you will ever have read. To get Income Tax Shattering the Myths, Body Science, or the 4-pack, go to drreality.news, drreality.news, for 10% off and me inscribing and autographing Income Tax Shattering the Myths and Body Science for you. Use the coupon code XMYS24. To get free shipping on any order containing Income Tax Shattering the Myths, use the code TARIFFS. Also, purchasing any of my writings helps me to continue to be here for you with these revealing and thought-provoking presentations. Thank you for sharing your time with me. I hope you found the time well spent.